We're still in the 11th parak of Mesillas Yesharim, Berhati Midas Hanakiyos, and Ramchal is describing how, in order to be anoki, you have to be careful with a range of averos and mitzvahs. And he just concluded the section describing the issues of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, when you deal with people, what could come up. And then he has a small section referring to Shmiras Shabbos and Yontif. V'hine, Gam Shmiras HaShabbosos V'yom Tovim Rabbihi. In order to properly guard Shabbos and Yontif, there's a lot of halachas. Kam Mishpatim Rabbim, there are many laws, V'chein Amru, like Chazal say, Hilchasa Rabsa L'Shabbosa. There are numerous halachas, significant halachas to keep Shabbos, Vafili divi hashavus, and even those things that are only shavus, afapishim divi chacham heim, even though they're drabonons, ikarim heim, they are a mainstay of Shmir Shabbos. V'chein amr lechazal se, le'olam al tishavus kala b'necho, don't take the isid drabonon lightly. Shai smicha shavus yivenech l'gubah gadoli hador. The isir of leaning your hands on a carbon on Shabbos Yontif is a machlekes, and Gedolei Hador debated whether or not it's okay, even though the whole is drabonon. On Yontif, referring to Yontif specifically, on Yontif, if you bring a carbon, don't you do smicha? The whole is drabonon. It's just leaning on an animal. It's not a Torah isir. And yet, all the Gedolim argued about this through the era of the Tanoim. Now, the details of Hichel Shabbos, Hichel Shantav, they're actually clarified in the Poskim, in their books, and we're all obligated in it, and we all have to do it. We have to learn the halachas and keep the halachas. What's difficult for people when it comes to Shmir Shabbos, who are shvisim in an esek, umedaber b'mas'am u'batanam. It's not doing work, not discussing work, not engaging in their regular business activities. Now the iser to discuss your business on Shabbos is clear in the Navi. You give cover for Shabbos by how you walk and what you do and what you speak. So we know from the Navi, you can't discuss business-related matters on Shabbos. V'klal hu, the rule of thumb, shekol ma'asher oseh b'Shabbos la'asoy soy oseh shtadlo ba'avuro laskir b'fiv. If there's something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, the rule is you can't try to achieve it or even mention it on Shabbos. If it's something you're not allowed to do, you don't talk about it. V'lchein asur la'ayin b'nechosav, and therefore you're not supposed to examine your property, liros ma'asher tzarech l'macher, to determine what I have to do with it tomorrow. Or to wait at the gates of the city to leave as soon as Shabbos ends. For us, you can't say, I'll do this tomorrow. Or I'll buy this merchandise tomorrow. Or anything like that. Since you cannot do it on Shabbos, you don't talk about it on Shabbos. So the specifics of Shmir Shabbos and Shmir Yontif are numerous, and you have to go through the halacha swarm to know exactly what you are allowed to and not allowed to do. But you have to realize, not only can't you do things, the issa d'araisas and the issa d'rabbanans, there's also the restriction against even talking about your business dealings and business plans and things that you want to take care of. If it's usur to do on Shabbos, then don't be involved with it on Shabbos, and don't think about it, don't talk about it. The actual thinking isn't usur here or mutar, you're not to think, but if your thinking is going to lead you to do something, that's a problem. Vihine. Adhena dibardi min ksas ha-mitzvahs ma'ashonu roim shmini odim nechshalom behem al ha-roif. Until now, I've spoken about some of the mitzvahs. What we see that people stumble with them for the most part. U'me'el nilma d'chosh alav. From the ones that I mentioned, we can extrapolate to other isurim. Basically, every iser has its branches and details. Mehem chamurim, u'mehem kalim, some are more serious, some are less. But if you're going to be a Naki, then this madrig of Nikias, you have to be totally clean and pure from all of them. Just like the Rachel, the female sheep is tsinua. Kacha yisol tsinu imu kshem mechemes midian. Klai yisol were tsinua and kosher in the battle of midian. The funu b'shem evach amar, shlo hiktim echna tefillin shal roi, shlo tefillin shayad. When they put on their tefillin, they always made sure to put on the hand tefillin before the head. Shlo ilu hiktim echa, because if they did do the other way around, lo yemoshe meshach, and Moshe would not have praised them, lo hoi yoytze mesham ha-shalom, and they would not have emerged from the battle well. Anyone who talks between Yishtabach and the Birchus Krishma is doing a chet and will not be able to fight in the war. This gives you an understanding of how far you have to be careful and precise to be truly naki in everything you do. So he's not going to go through all the other things. He talked about kashrus, and he talked about sheker, and he talked about chil Hashem, and etza, and lashon hara, and rechilus, gezel, all these things. And he throws in Shabbos at the end. He's not going to go through every single lois asei and tayyag mitzvahs, but the concept is the same through all of them. There's the obvious application, there's the less obvious, there's the deraisa, there's the rabbanons, and in order to be a naki, you have to be a total tzaddik in all of the facets of every mitzvah and every avera. You have to be totally naki that you don't do any chet on any level. That's the concept of nakias. Now the Ramchal enters into a new arena, a new area of nakias. Hine, k'moshe tzorach nakias b'masim. The same way your actions have to be naki, clean and pure, kach tzorach nekius b'midos. Your character traits also need to be naki. V'chemat sheyosu kashu nekius b'midos, hashu b'maisim. And it's practically more difficult to be a naki when it comes to midos tovus than it does to your maisim. Ki ateva poil b'midos yoyis mashu po b'maisim, because your nature interferes. Your nature is more engaged and involved in your characteristics and character traits than it is in the things you do. Yan hamezek v'tchunahim omisayim omisnagdim gdom lehem, because your temperament and character will either help or detract when it comes to your midos. V'chol michamah shehikneged netiyas hateva mechamah chazaka, and every battle against your natural inclination is a very difficult battle. V'mashe perishu b'ma'amor amzal. This is what Chazal tell us. Ezehu gibor hakovesh es yitzur. The true gibor is the one who can conquer his temperament, his will, his yetzahara. V'hineh midos hin rabos. It comes to midos. There's many characteristics. Ki kvi kol ha'pu'ulos ha'shayachem la'odnam ba'olam. The same way there are so many activities that a person could be engaged in. K'mo ked midos seyem sha'acharein hu nimshach pu'ulosav. So too are all the characteristics and natures of the person that everything he does stems from that. Amnam, k'moshidi ba'ana b'mitzvah, shreit tzarech l'inokas v'ambiyosa. So we said by mitzvahs, there are some mitzvahs that you have to really focus on to be naki, because they are more difficult. Da'idu mashig, regilus b'nei adon kasha. Those things that people normally stumble are the ones that you have to focus on. And therefore, I talked about gezel, and I talked about sheker, and I talked about Shabbos and kashrus. Kei nedab b'midos harashiyos ba'arichus iyon yoser lepnei regilu seinu bom. So when it comes to midos, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to focus on the main midos, the ones that we deal with more often, the ones that we're more commonly confronted with, and the ones that are the bigger challenge, the midos that we have to deal with the most and the ones that people stumble on. Vehem, they are hagaiva, pride or arrogance, hakas, anger, temper, hakina, jealousy, vehataiva, and the desire and lust. Henkol Eila Midos Rois. These are all terrible Midos. Asherosam Nikaris Mufusamis. And everyone knows they're bad, and everyone knows it's public knowledge, there's no secret here, that these aren't good characteristics. Ain Sarah Rois, I don't have to prove it to you. Kne Ros Heina Ba'atzman Ros Pasol the same. They are bad. The byproducts of the Midos are bad. Ki Kulon Chutz Mishur Sasech Vachochma. They're all out of line of what the Seichel dictates. And each one can lead a person to terrible chatoyim. Gaiva, kas, kina, taiva, everyone by themselves can lead a person to do terrible things. So the Ramchal is going to focus now on midos rois, one at a time, and show you how you're supposed to be naki from these midos. So until now, the first half of this was focusing on averus and characteristics, or I should say categories of averus that a person has to be careful with. And now he's going to focus on these categories of poor character traits and how we have to address them. Al ha-gaiva. Start with arrogance and pride. So we actually have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us not to be a balgaiva. The pasuk says, "V'rom levavecha v'shachach d'Hashem lekecha." Your heart will become great, will become exalted or lifted up, and you'll forget the Ribbono Shelam. Rabbeinu Yonishar Tshuva writes, "This is an iser of gaiva." V'rom levavecha v'shachach d'Hashem lekecha. Al hakas, anger. Chazal teach us, someone gets angry, look at that person as if he's an idolater. Alakina v'ataiva, jealousy and desires, shanina behedya, doesn't the Mishnah teach us? Hakina v'ataiva kova and matzinas adam and oilam, these things take a person out of the world. Amnam ha'iyan ha'mitztareif b'am hulihi malait b'ham kolam fam. So when we have to think about this, I think we changed it Lashon to Mitztareich, said Mitztareif. The analysis we have to put into these things is how to be spared these midos and their branches. Because every one of them is like a devious offshoot of a strange plant. Let's go through it one at a time. Kal inin ha-gaiva, who's that? What's the concept of arrogance? What is gaiva? When a person thinks about himself that he is worthy of praise, he is better than everyone else. When a person thinks that he is better than everyone else, that is gaiva. Now this can actually manifest itself in many different ways. Some people think they're brilliant, they're so smart. Other people think they are so beautiful. Others say, I am so honorable. Others say, I am so great. I am so wise. The rule is, any good characteristic you can find. If a person thinks that he has, I think we change it to yeshnebo. If he thinks he has that characteristic, he's very vulnerable to fall in the pit of gaiva. Because when a person has established in his mind that he is special and he is worthy of praise, there won't be only one outgrowth of this type of thinking. There'll be many different outgrowths of this thought. Sometimes they're contradictory. They all have the same root. They all come from the same place. You'll have one type of balgaiva, that he thinks, since he is worthy of praise, because in his mind, he's special. He has this special uniqueness that other people don't have. And therefore, he should behave and act in a way that's fitting for a person of this stature, whether it's how he walks, how he sits, how he gets up, how he speaks, everything is done very slowly and deliberately. He won't walk fast. He'll only sit erect. He'll rise very slowly like a snake. He won't even talk to everybody. Most people are not worthy of his attention. He'll only talk to the honorable people. And even to them, he'll only speak in half sentences, like the oracles, everything he does, his movements, his actions, what he eats, what he drinks, his clothing, everything he does, is done with great pompousness. Like his body is lead, his bones are sand or stone. So you have people who, because they think in their mind they're so special, will be very pompous in how they dress and act and behave towards others, and be very curt with people because I can't spend time with you, you're not worthy of my attentions. And when you see these people behave, you know that they're, I think the language we say is, they're full of themselves, so to speak. There's another type of Balgaiva. That because he is so worthy of praise and he's such a high madrega over everyone else, so if she marigiz ha'aretz, he should cast fear on the people around him. Shakol yirash mipanav, people should tremble before him. How dare people approach him to speak to him and ask for things? And if someone dares come to him, he will shout at him and speak to him harshly, speak to them impotently and brazenly, with a scowl on his face all the time. So it's a different type of gaiva, where, who do you think you are to talk to me? And essentially scowl at the world and make sure everyone trembles in his presence. Then there's a third type of Balgaiva. Who thinks like this. He is so great and so amazing. And there's really no way for Kavod to separate from him. He doesn't even need Kavod. Well, the Haros Dov is that to show it, Yaseh Maisim K'maisa Ha'anav, he's going to pretend and act like a humble person. V'yafiz Al Midosav, and really go to extremes. L'Haros Shiflus Godol V'anav Anecheka, to show that he is so humble, that he is so extreme in his humility. V'libo Misnasi B'kibolim, while in his heart, he is proud of himself. Ani Kol Kach Ram, Kol Kach Nechbad, I am so high up, and I am so honored. So I don't even need honor. I should just ignore all honors, because I have so much to spare. So who needs it? So here, this Balgaiva exhibits tremendous humility. But in his heart, he thinks he's great. And that's also Gaiva. There's another Balgaiva. This person, he wants to be recorded as being extra special. And it's not enough for him that everyone's going to praise him for his specialness. He also has to have on his credits that he's the most humble of the humble. He becomes haughty in his humility. He wants the honor of appearing to run from honor. This type of Balgaiva will place himself beneath those who are under him, Harbi, even though way below him, or beneath those who are really on the bottom rungs of society. He wants to show how honored he is. He doesn't want any titles. He doesn't want anything that says he's special. And in his mind, he says, there is no one so smart and honored like me in the whole world. These haughty people, they seem to be humble. They're going to have their stumbling blocks. Without their realizing it, their arrogance will be revealed like a flame that comes through the charosim, through shards of pottery. Kvar moshel chacham zal moshel. Chacham give us a moshel, v'ayis mali tevin, a house full of straw. V'ayis chayrin, and there are cracks in the walls, v'ayis tevin yichlas behem, and the straw gives in the cracks. L'ach yom hiskalos ha tevin shay b'tzorchos mechrom yotzei, so the straw begins to stick through the cracks. Yedra kol ki yoyse b'ayis chol tevin. So everyone knows from the outside that there's straw in there. Kenadav is at the same thing here. They can't hide themselves forever. People are going to realize their intent through their deeds. This is called anova pesula. It's an invalid humility. Veshiflis meruma. It's a deceitful downplaying of who he is. There are other balei where their gaiva is buried in their heart. Though it's yul mice, it's never noticed. But they think it. They are so smart, they know everything. Others don't become as smart as they do. They don't pay attention to other people. Because they consider for themselves what is difficult for them, no one else can do. And then things that he thinks are so clear and poshut, why should I pay attention to those who argue with me? If they're early, later, suffocating, they have no doubts about their misguided logic. This is all gaiva. It sends people backwards. It makes them stupid. They can't think straight. We find this by students who don't work hard enough on their studies. They think that they're beginning to learn and they already treat themselves. They think, I'm just as smart as the smartest of the smart. We say on them, it's an abomination, Hashem, people who are arrogant. If you want to be a Naki, you have to be clean of this. He has to know, arrogance is a blindness. So that a person doesn't see, that his seichel doesn't recognize that which he lacks and that which he's missing. If he could see and know the truth, he would certainly turn away and distance himself from these bad paths. Tremendous distance. We'll talk more about this with Hashem's help when we discuss humility. It's so hard to achieve. This is one of the last things in the list of the ladder of Pinchas ben Yair. That's the end of his gaiva discussion. So he says, we know gaiva is terrible. It's a pasuk, Ramla Vavecha, Veshachachachim Lakecha, arrogant people will forget a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And you have the essence of gaiva is anyone who believes that he's better than the next person because he's smarter, prettier, wiser, stronger, more respectable, whatever turns on the gaiva button. And it can manifest itself in different ways. There are people who carry themselves pompously. There are people who want to instill fear, will not suffer the fools around him. That's another display of clear arrogance. Then you have the fellow who ignores kavod because he has so much kavod to give away, so he doesn't need kavod, and he's mevater on kavod. And then you have the bar gaiva who's so great, he has to make sure that he has anova as one of his trophies, that he's known to be an anov as well. And ultimately, it'll be figured out that he's not an anov. So that's what Rav Chala said before. Sometimes it manifests itself one way, and sometimes just the opposite. There are ways a person conducts himself that is clearly pompous and arrogant, And then there are ways that he appears to be humble, but it's not a true humble. It's an anava pesula and a shiftless maruma. It's deceitful and it's false. It's not true anava. There's a famous story that we say concerning the yeshiva of Nevardik. The Musa movement and Talmid Rishon Salanter focused on self-improvement, midos tovus, and there were different approaches to achieving higher madrigas. The Nevardic approach was bitul ha'adam. The Nevardic approach was, like the Mishnah says in Avos, histakel b'shlosha devar v'enta b'alei chet, look at three things and you won't sin. Me'ayim bosa mitipas rucha. What is your origin? A putrid drop. L'anata ha'ilech, where are you going? L'makam rima v'saleya. A place filled with worms and bugs. And you're going to be judged by the Ibn Hisham. So that takes one attitude that you come from nothing, you're going to end up being nothing, who do you think you are? And you know that you're going to have to stand judgment, so you got to do your best, and that's one approach, that's the Nevardic approach. There's the Slobodka approach, that was just the opposite. You want to reach character development and character improvement, you follow the Mishnah that says, Chaviv Odom Shenevi B'Tselem. How dear is man created in Tselem? Tselem Hashem, the image of Hashem. Chibi Yaseira for Klai Yisrael, Tselem Elokim. So you got to behave the right way. You're Tselem Elokim. You have to develop your midas. You have to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're so great. How can you do these things? Two totally different approaches. One is a negation of man. Who do you think you are? You're nothing. You come from nothing. End up with nothing. And the other is building up. You're so great. Such a high level. You have to behave accordingly. Two distinct approaches to Avodas Hashem and Tikkun Hamidus. At one time, there was a tremendous network of yeshivas under the Nevardic system. Today, there's nothing left. There's really nothing. There's yeshiva Nevardic in New York. There's yeshiva Nevardic in Israel. There's nothing there. Very small. Really, no great following. Slobodka, on the other hand, developed the great Rosh Yeshivas of all major yeshivas today in the world. Whether it's Mir Yeshiva, whether it's Chaim Berlin, whether it's Beis Medrash Gavoa Lakewood, whether it's Neir Sol Baltimore, so all Slobodka Talmidim started these yeshivas. So Slobodka definitely had a more lasting imprint on how to develop generations of Yireim and Shleimim. In any event, the story goes in Nevardik that the Bachrim of Nevardik would sit and repeat to themselves over and over, Ich bin a garnished. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. That was the mantra, I'm nothing. And by repeating that's sufficient. You break down your Midos Rois and you could improve yourself. So the way the story goes, a young bacher, a new bacher at yeshiva, is sitting on a corner saying, Ich bin a garnished. And the older bacher walks by and says, who do you think you are to say, Ich bin a garnished? The story is a joke and it's a musa. You could take your Ich bin a garnished and be misko'er in your Ich bin a garnished. You think you're on the madrega to say, Ich bin a garnished? Who do you think you are to say it? You have to be 3-4 years in the yeshiva before you can say Ich bin a garnished. They were misgoyim, they're anava. You take pride in your level of anivus. You're not ready for that level of anivus. When you get to our level, we'll talk about that level of anivus. That's the Ramchal saying. You can take anava and find gaivin anava. To be on the madrega, to be an anav. Who do you think you are? You think you're an anav? You're not an anav. You have to be better than that to be an anav. That's also gaiva. Gaiva is very tricky. The rule of thumb, and we repeat this over and over, is thinking I'm better than the next person because of my milas. And whether my mila is anava, whether my mila is anything else, it's the same problem. There is a well-known passage at the end of the Gemara of Sota where it's going through that as different great people passed away, certain characteristics were gone and disappeared because they were the paradigm of those midas, and if they died, it wasn't there anymore. And one of the things that said that when so-and-so died, there was no more anava. That was the end of anava. And the Yosef says, no, don't say that. I'm here. Don't say that. Anava isn't gone. I also have anava. And everyone asked the question, what kind of anava is that? They're saying so-and-so died. That was the end of the era of humility. He says, no, that's not true. I'm alive. There's still anava. Anava is alive and well. How can you say that and still be an anava? So the answer is, in my understanding, the true anav does not ignore his milas. The true anav is aware that he's smart. He's aware that he has kishrin. He's aware he has talent. But he doesn't behave in a way that shows that he's better than anyone else. I'm not better than anyone else because of my God-given gifts. So Hashem gave me brains. Hashem gave me talents. Hashem gave me ability to sing. Hashem gave me beauty. Gave me their strength. That doesn't make me better than the next person. When you don't feel you're any better than anyone else, that's anava. It doesn't mean I ignore who I am. It doesn't mean I pretend not to have milas that I have. I have my milas. I'm allowed to know my milas. In fact, you should know your milas. And if you know your milas, you can use your milas and you can realize your potential. But the anav doesn't think he's better than the next person because of it. I don't deserve anything more than anyone else because of my milas. That's anav. So he can say, there's still anav in the world. He can know that he's an anav and still be an anav, because he doesn't think he's any better than anyone else because of it. That's anava. Anava is when I don't believe, like he says, who's the Baal Gaiva? B'machshavto, b'vavo, yadam, b'kilo no asihila. I deserve to be recognized and praised for my specialness. The anav doesn't think that way. I don't deserve any praise. I don't deserve any accolades. Not because I want to get praised for my anava. Because there's nothing. I didn't do anything. There's really nothing to praise me for. There's nothing. I don't deserve this. And that's really what they think. That's anava. Anava is when you appreciate your God-given gifts, you utilize them to the best of your ability, and you don't think you're anything special because of it. And they say stories about people who at every Shabbos at the table would look around at their guests and make sure to find the maila of everyone at the table they don't have. You ever heard this? Chassidus, you think. When they have guests, have company. They won't make kiddush until they look at everyone at the table and know that this person has a mile, they don't have this mile, this one has this mile. And in your mind, you find milas in the people around you that you don't have. And then you make kiddush. You're not so great. Everyone has a mile. And this fellow's telling me he does this, and all of a sudden he's sitting at the table, and there's one guy who's not Shema Torah Mitzvahs, and he looks like a bum. And I was stuck. I couldn't think of anything that he's better than me. And I couldn't make Kiddush. And then it hit me. He's better than me. Because if I was him, I wouldn't be at someone's Shabbos table. He's at a Shabbos table, he's better than me. Because if I was like him, I wouldn't be at a Shabbos table. So there's such a concept of always seeing in others milas, seeing the milas that other people have that you don't have. And that's certainly helpful in putting yourself in your place, so to speak, not to allow yourself to inflate your opinion of yourself.